is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, the American economy, the global economy, $100 Brent crude oil. That is not my idea. That is the idea of Mohammed bin Salman, the heir apparent in Saudi Arabia, and his allies for $100 oil. That would be Vladimir Putin and the counselors at the Kremlin. That would be the Ayatollah and the Islamic Republic of Iran, all gaining from $100 oil. The question is, what mitigates this in 2023, 2024, the way it was mitigated in 2022 by the President of the United States? Liz, a very good evening to you. I credit you for having seen this very early on, that oil, I translate into gasoline prices, translate into the pocketbook issues for the American people. Oil was a vulnerability. The Biden administration jawboned that in 22 when gasoline spiked, used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and moderated prices through these many months. Now there's been a move for in the 80s, even touching 90 for Brent. That's the European version. But $100 oil, that's bold on MBS and Vladimir Putin and the Ayatollah. Is the administration accounting for this? Have they got a remedy to this? Or are we going to ride out a spike? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the obvious remedy to this is to unleash U.S. Explorers and producers to increase U.S. production. And really, the astonishing political reality is that Joe Biden simply will not back down on his what's called his war on fossil fuels. And it's a pretty apt expression because from day one, he has literally done everything within his power to reduce and prevent more U.S. production from coming on stream. So where we are is we're probably producing 2 or 3 million barrels a day less than we could have been had Trump-era policies about leasing, for example, been kept in place. But instead, even as gasoline prices began to head up in the last month and a half, and even as Joe Biden's popularity rises and falls with gasoline prices more predictably than any other metric I can find, the administration doubled down on preventing future exploration and production by taking those leases off or canceling the leases that were extant on Alaska's North Slope, in the National Wildlife Refuge. I mean, honestly, it was an act of political malfeasance just about in terms of reminding the public that Joe Biden has, from day one, canceled leases, canceled pipelines, prevented drilling permits from being issued, done everything he could possibly do to make sure that our oil industry was not as productive. So as a result, our drilling rig count is down. It's up overseas, of course, because when you have oil, as you point out, getting close to $90 a barrel, you know, guess what? Oil companies are making money. They want to invest it, but they're not investing it in the U.S. And honestly, I think this is a huge political vulnerability for Joe Biden. To your point, last time we had this big increase in oil prices last year and gas prices hit all-time record highs, the president began to deplete our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, drew down the stocks of oil that we have held against emergencies, real emergencies, by the way, national security emergencies, not political emergencies for the sitting president, by 45%. We've never had an SPR at this level, I don't know, in 30 years or something. I mean, I really find this whole situation pretty shocking. And what has been the administration's response going to Venezuela and talking to them about can't you increase oil production and in return we'll lift sanctions on this and that, pleading with Saudi Arabia embarrassingly, having been insulting and dismissive of Saudi Arabia early on. I mean, honestly, in terms of real diplomacy or whatever that expression is, I don't think there could have been a worse managed situation or one that is more important, again, for the popularity of a sitting president. Oil prices, I don't, you know, I tell you what, John, I don't care what the CPI looks like Thursday. If gasoline prices go to $5 again, or even be, continue to just inch higher, Americans are going to have a, he's going to have a very tough time explaining to Americans that inflation actually has gotten better, because that price at the pump is probably more influential on Americans' interpretation of what's happening in inflation than any other single variable.
In a note to clients, analysts at Goldman Sachs now predict that voluntary production cuts by major oil exporters, Saudi Arabia and Russia, could push the price of Brent up to $107 a barrel next December. So what we're looking at here, Goldman Sachs predicting above 100 around election time. Now, that is no accident, I think. What do you think, Liz?
Well, these Saudi Arabia has no love for President Biden. And I think Biden made a huge miscalculation making an enemy of Mohammed bin Salman, the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, when he took office. And he did that. He did it knowingly, consciously, because Donald Trump had befriended MBS, not because his human rights record is terrific, but because the alliance with Saudi Arabia has been strategically important for a very long time to the United States. Why? Because, yeah, they are the swing producer. They have long been the swing producer that could create basically a sort of predictable pathway for oil prices. When our production exceeded Saudi Arabia's, when we became the dominant factor in the oil business, that changed a little bit. They're still incredibly important because they economically can take a hit for 6 months, even a year, by restricting production. But and to Goldman's point, they won't let prices go above 100. They may not even get to 100 because, after all, they know that that encourages production increases around the world. And so it's foolhardy for them to do that. They don't really want to trigger even more investment in alternative fuels and other competing sources of power. So they're not going to do that. But, you know, I wouldn't expect oil prices to go back to $50 anytime soon either. So this is a mistake on Biden's part, and I think it could bite him, during the election season.
We come to the Federal Reserve, tasked with getting inflation to 2% average, and with some to go, and the expectation now is the next meeting will either do nothing, talk about a raise, but suddenly the cut talk has gone away. Have you seen any change? This is the kind of gossip I love on Wall Street, because it's never given to one person. It's sort of generally known. Is the cut talk still around, or has it been banished?
Well, it hasn't been banished. I think there is just unbelievable range of opinion on what to expect. Right now, the consensus clearly is that the Fed will pause in September. It's not universally thought that they'll pause, but it's pretty, I'd say 90% odds that they'll not hike rates at their September meeting, because the CPI number, which is going to come out Thursday, is expected to show further moderating of inflation on important things like rents, household housing, and other features which are sort of in that core number. You know, gasoline prices could be a X variable here. Fuel prices in general, in terms of the top line, exceeding the consensus number, which is now around 3.6%. But I want to just kind of follow up on that with a couple of quotes from ISI, which is a group I follow. They did a survey recently of investors, and I find this just astonishing. The range, I think they've never seen a range like this. For example, bond yields, end of 2024, John, was there the question, what do you expect by the end of 2024? Bond yields, the low end is 250, the high end 525. I mean, that's really unbelievable. Fed funds, the low end 350, the high end 575. And one more, which I'll throw out there, is the headline CPI, the low 1.2% and the high 4%. So I got to tell you, investors are just all over the map on what to expect with inflation, what to expect with oil prices, unemployment. Someone's thinking what unemployment's going to be as high at the end of next year as 7%, and the low is 4.2%. So, I mean, you know, I'm not the only one feeling baffled by a lot of contradictory information here. I think the Fed is, and that's why they might pause, but also investors have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Is the union story at UAW story, is that part of Wall Street's calculation, or do they not believe it? In other words, a lot of tough talk right to the midnight hour and then a settlement.
Well, I have to tell you, I have not thought there was a chance that the UAW would go out on strike, because after all, this is the pro-labor president, and why in the world would they want to basically torch the economy of Michigan, as an important swing state, and the country overall, when the president has been so very good to the union, supposedly? But then you got to read the union leader, Fain, is very aggressive. He is looking for pay hikes that are double to triple what the auto companies are offering right now. Why? Because they're scared to death of EVs and what it means for the auto business. Auto workers know that this shift to electric vehicles, which President Biden is pushing very, very hard, it may get stalled in the courts and stuff, but the reality is we are looking at a forceful government push to EV transition. They know that making EVs doesn't require as many workers. So that's a real problem for the union. They see their union shrinking, in effect, over time. Also, I'm actually working on a piece today, and I hope I actually figure it out. There is a huge EV business in China. I don't think Americans are aware that the EV epicenter of the world right now is China. I think it's 60% of the EV market worldwide. But also, they have a gazillion small companies making very inexpensive electric vehicles. If our government tries to keep those cheap EVs out of the United States, I think that's going to be a very difficult negotiation, because they're flooding into Europe right now. Car companies in Europe are up in arms because they're worried that $10,000 electric vehicle cars are going to really take out their cheaper lines like those from Volkswagen. I think we could face the same problem in the U.S. So the UAW has a lot to be worried about, other than just whether their pay increase is going to exceed inflation. So I guess I'm sorry to go on so long about it. I think it's a very interesting situation. I think there could be a strike.
Elizabeth Peak, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. The president's reelection campaign next. I'm John Battle.